Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. I've been terrible all my life at a lot of things, from, you know, chit-chat and small talk. I'm definitely terrible at that, to, you know, being undisciplined and a binge drinker when I was younger. But I think the thing that I was absolutely the worst at was leadership. Leadership. I was a boss top down when I started my business, and it had to change. And fortunately, working with the gentleman that I'm interviewing today was a game changer in my life. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, and welcome to the show where we're going to help you become a great leader. We're going to give you some cool book recommendations, some conversations to have, and how to become a great leader at home, and how to create great leaders in your business, your community, your church. This is going to be an amazing episode with my friend Daniel Woodrum, who's my business partner in my Fit Body Boot Camps down in South Carolina. Very, very amazing place, amazing part of the United States. I love the down-home nature and feel-good community that they have down there. And I think that's one part of Daniel's great leadership, but he's going to teach you his five pillars of leadership. And Daniel's been a longtime friend of mine, a longtime reader of my books, The Perfect Day Formula, and my new book, The Perfect Week Formula. And again, he's a partner of mine in my coaching as well. So he coaches gym owners on how to grow and go. So listen, if you need any help with that, you're going to love this interview with Daniel. So let's jump into it. He's just nursing a little bit of a stomach flu from his little baby girl, but man, he dropped the fire on this one. So let's jump over to this episode of Early to Rise Radio on how you can become a better leader. Daniel, my man, what the heck, in your opinion, in your South Carolina gentleman's opinion, Daniel, what is a leader anyways?
Well, hopefully everyone can understand my Southern accent here, but, you know, that's a tough question to answer, as everyone has their own definition of what a leader is and what leadership looks like. But if I had to break it down in just one sentence, I would say that leadership is the ability to move and inspire others towards a goal that is greater than anything one person can do or achieve. So for example, with our business, we set a mission to help our clients lose 10,000 pounds by the year 2020. And we set that mission back four years ago, when we opened our door. And I knew that I could not reach that mission without the help of a very awesome team, clients, and my community. So I've had to be able to move and inspire others to help towards that ultimate mission and that ultimate goal.
That's good. And, you know, you and I both were not great leaders when we started. So why don't you walk us through where you were as a leader when you were in your first business and how that evolved over time? And what were some of like the big insights that people listening, whether they're a leader in their family or their church or their business, that they can take away and apply today?
Yeah, so I kind of got thrown into a leadership position back in 2011. I was right out of college. I got a great opportunity to partner with an investor to open up my first gym. And of course, at this time, right out of college, I had zero experience with any type of management, business, or of course, any leadership. And all I really knew was hard work. And you know, I knew where I wanted to go and what it would be to become successful. And when we opened up that first location, within the first 8 months of being a business owner, everything was great. But I was also a one-man band and I was doing everything. And so as the business grew and we needed to start making hires and having other people come on board with us, that's where the problems started to occur. Because my first leadership mentor was that first business partner that I had. And his idea of leadership was motivating others through intimidation and fear and having full control of every single aspect of the business. And the only thing that really mattered to him was the bottom line. And that's where the leadership style really got me in trouble. Because again, I didn't understand how to empower others. I didn't understand the importance of delegating, because my current, that business partner, his whole thing was you do everything. The only thing that matters is the bottom line. And so when we tried to scale our business and open up the second location, continue to grow, I did not have the leadership skills that it took to grow on a macro level because I did not understand what leadership was. And, you know, not to blame that first business partner, that's all I knew. That's what he taught me. So when I met you, Craig, which is back shortly thereafter, I actually opened up that first business. I learned from you and Bedros the importance and the power of allowing others to help you where you want to go, to be a go-giver, right? And to get people behind your mission and your vision. Because like I said, you cannot reach your ultimate goals by yourself. If you want to scale, if you want to grow your business, if you want to get to something that's greater than yourself, you have to have others in on your team and in your business, in your stratosphere that's going to help you get there.
Yeah, I think one of the key things there that you talk about is you were describing two different things. One is being a boss and the other is being a leader. And I love this one little diagram that I saw on the internet. Like it was like an old school stick man drawing, and there was a, it said boss, and then the boss was riding in a cart whipping people and they were pulling the cart. And then, you know, leader was like, I think the leader was on a megaphone, like encouraging people to push the cart or something like that. It was just totally different mindset. And leadership is from the bottom up, you know, serving others and growing everybody, and boss is from the top down and, you know, making that mistake. So when we first met, how did you go from being not so great to being better? What was like one of the first things that you did where you're like, oh, this is working a whole lot better than the old way that I was doing?
Well, I think it's like you said, Craig, I always had the idea of that others were there to serve me and my mission. But when I kind of changed that mindset and learned that I am there to serve them, and that when I help them become better and I give them the tools, the resources, and put them in a position to win, that in return, they're going to put the business in a position to win. So I think it was just a whole mindset shift. So like you said, I wasn't a boss. I needed to be a leader. And by being a leader, I needed to invest in my team. I needed to give them the resources, the tools, set up expectations, right? So they knew exactly where I wanted them to go and where we wanted our business to go. And when I switched that mindset shift, that's when everything took off and I was able to be a leader. I was able to trust in my staff, to delegate, to put my trust in them, that I knew that they could get the job done. And then it's just a matter of obviously being able to hold them accountable and to make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay. So, you know, we have a client, he's kind of struggling with leadership right now, very busy doing it all himself. You know, what's the advice that you're giving him on a day-to-day basis so that everybody listening can go, wow, you know, right now I'm in the weeds, I'm doing, or maybe I'm telling people and they're not doing it good enough. And it's like, they're banging their head against the wall. What's the advice, the first step that people need to take in this position?
I think it's first getting feedback from your team, right? Like as a leader, how can you become a better leader? How do you know what you need to improve upon if you don't know what areas you need to improve upon? So I think it's just getting feedback from your team. We created this culture of feedback over the last year in our two boot camps. And it's going to hurt your ego, because when you ask your team and you can honestly put them in a position to give you honest feedback, you're probably going to hear some things that you don't necessarily want to hear. But once you're able to get that feedback and build that circle of trust, you're going to be able to work on the things that you need to do as a leader to improve your business, to set everyone else up for success. And so at the end of the day, I think it's just a matter of getting feedback. And so what we did was, when we started this culture of feedback, I simply asked each staff member individually, I set up a meeting with them and I said, hey, I need to know what I can improve upon as a leader to help you grow personally and professionally. And so I would get them specifics, and then they gave me some great feedback, and I was able to work on those things and know exactly what I needed to do in that moment to take those first steps to become a better leader for my team.
How did you set it up so that they were comfortable? Like, cause you know, a lot of people, they might intimidate team members, and now you're saying, oh, you know, just go and ask them. And they might not get that feedback. What were you must have been doing something right in order to get to that place at all. So what advice would you give to somebody who just doesn't feel like they have that relationship? Is there anything else that people can do in an anonymous way of asking for feedback, or just a little bit less intimidating?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you wanted anonymous, you could just certainly have just ask your team that you were looking for feedback as a leader, and that they don't need to put any type of name associated with it. And you could just simply have something set up in your business where they could, you know, write what they feel like you become a better leader at and put it in a box or put it somewhere where you could obviously review that and it would be anonymous. But I also think that it is actually better if you can have that one-on-one conversation with them and have that open dialogue. I was listening to a podcast a while ago and it's something that really hit me. And I think it'll stick with me the rest of my life is it said, you know, feedback, it's not an attack on you. It's just on what you are doing. And so when I think you can get people to understand that, that, hey, if you're giving me feedback or if I'm giving you feedback, it's not a personal attack. It's just on what you are doing. I think once you can come at that approach, then people will be more open to feedback, both on each end.
Yeah. So I guess also if you ask for feedback and somebody puts it on paper, I mean, it could mean almost anything. You really do need to get the details, right?
Right. Yeah. The follow-up is key. And that's the thing is like when I had that one-on-one conversation, when they were giving me some feedback, we could have that open dialogue. I could build that trust even more within that conversation. And so I think that's the best way to approach the feedback.
Yeah. And then another thing is, okay, you can get this feedback, but I think it would be hugely dropping the ball if you didn't do anything with it. So what did you do with the feedback? Well, first of all, like if you're open to sharing, what did they tell you? How did you correct it? How did you show them that you were correcting it? And what advice would you give to people who are like, oh, I see. What's my first step for correcting some of these deficiencies?
Yeah. So for example, one feedback was, and this is actually was a huge one for me, is that when it was actually one of our newer coaches, she said, hey, you guys have this mission on your wall, this 10,000 pound mission, but I've been here for 6 months and, you know, while I see it and I've seen you guys mention before, I feel like I don't know anything about it. I don't feel like you guys are talking up inside your gym. Like, I don't even really know what your ultimate goal is and how you're going to get there. And I was like, wow, that's a slap in my face because I had this huge mission on our wall, right? It's something that we discussed when we opened one of our key things and that this person doesn't really know anything about it. And so what I did was I actually, and Craig, that was right before, if you remember that mastermind you had in Miami. Yeah. And I told you that I said, hey, like I spent the last 3 weeks backtracking and making sure that we put a greater focus on this 10,000 mission and collected all the data to know exactly where we were. And so we've launched a couple of programs since then. And now I'm happy to report that we're less than 250 pounds away from that 10,000 pound mission. And so her feedback was allowed me to look myself in the mirror and say, all right, we had this mission, but I'm not even doing anything with it. And I felt like a hypocrite at that time, but I was able to utilize that to my advantage. And now we're close to that 10,000 pound mission.
Well, I'm actually amazed. I thought you were going to say something like 5 years ago, and here it is still now. I mean, that was just a year ago. So you're always continuing to look and improve. And it's funny because I tell my coaching clients, listen, you got to repeat your vision and your mission. Like you just don't realize how you think you're saying a lot about it and people are not getting enough of it. So what else are you doing in terms of how you share the mission with people? What's your weekly meeting rhythm and communication rhythm with your team?
Yes, that's a great point. So a few of the communication things that we do is I send out a weekly team email every single Friday. And Craig, I give you all the credit for this because you've been doing this for a long time and I got the idea from you. So every single Friday morning, I send out a weekly team email to our entire team, both locations. And it's very structured. So it's the same type of email layout every single time. And, you know, usually the first part of the email is a recap of the week that we just had. The second part is recognition or shout outs, because what I've learned, especially in leadership, is that everyone wants to make more money, but people also yearn for recognition. And so I think it's very important to recognize your coaches and your team when it's deserved, of course, and recognize them in front of others. And then after the recognition, then typically I will go into some announcements and what we have upcoming. And then to kind of recap the team email, I always end it with our three core values. And then I'll try to provide some type of resource or educational resource or link that they can utilize for that next week ahead. And so the weekly team email, go ahead.
No, absolutely. That's really great and so clear and allows you to get in that rhythm of staying in touch with people. And now they're not making stuff up in their head, right?
Right. Because as a leader, when you're, you know, when you are looking at your business from a 30,000 or 30,000 foot point of view and perspective, then you have to be able to have your team communicate with your customers and your clients. So if there is a breakdown in communication or a lack of consistency with that communication, not only does that hurt your team, but that's going to hurt your clients and your customers, because there is not going to be a steady flow of communication all the way down the pipeline.
Yeah. So I talk to so many entrepreneurs all the time, and they really struggle with this. So why is it that most entrepreneurs like you and I, why do we start off like this? Why are we not great leaders from the get-go? And why does it take so many of us so long to change?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think some of it is an ego. I think that we think that we can do everything ourselves. And that we just, you know, we want to do it all ourselves. And so that we don't rely on others, and we don't understand that in order to reach your ultimate goal, we have to have a support group and a team behind us. I also think it's just a lack of help. I think sometimes we're scared to ask for help because we look at that as a form of weakness. But in my opinion, not asking for help is actually a form of weakness. And so I think it's just learning from others, hiring a coach, hiring a mentor, reading leadership books, listening to podcasts, however you feel like is best for you to learn leadership, attend seminars. But that's one of the other ways that I think you can become a great leader. And I think it's just a lack of leadership in the school system, which I don't want to go down that, you know, rabbit hole. But I mean, I was never taught any type of leadership through middle school, high school, even college. So I think if we could try to have some type of more curriculum with leadership at a younger age, I think it's only going to help us. Because like you said earlier, Craig, leadership is not just in business. It's in personal life. Now I have a 15-month-old daughter, so I'm trying to be a good leader for her. And so it has a trickle-down effect to every area of your life.
Let's go through some of your favorite leadership books, because you just talked about that. So maybe one or two big lessons from three to five of your favorite books. You know, I've sent you quite a few. I'm not able to read all the leadership books in the world, but I've got a couple that have really impacted me. What are the ones that have really helped you?
Yeah. So the first one that comes to mind is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And I've had the pleasure of listening to him in a couple of different seminars, but his book, you know, when I talk to a lot of coaching clients, Craig, it's like when we start talking about their team, they're always quick to point the finger at their team. And, you know, the team's not doing this, the team's not doing that, they're not doing what I'm telling them to do. And I'm like, all right, well, stop pointing your finger at them and point the finger at you. Look yourself in the mirror and figure out what you can do better, right? Because as a leader, you have to take personal responsibility for everything. So when things go wrong, you know, you want to be quick to point the finger at you. When things go right, you want to be quick to point the finger at your team and other people to give them praise. So Extreme Ownership is a huge book that I got a lot of value from. And it was just a great reminder that everything that happens in your business, both good and bad, is a direct reflection on you. The second one is The Go-Giver. And Craig, I don't know, I think you actually sent me that book a long time ago, but Go-Giver is—
Yeah, we were huge on that book.
Yeah, powerful, powerful book. I actually have had my entire team read it as well numerous times. But The Go-Giver is just a great book that talks about the power of paying it forward and never expecting anything in return. So I'm huge. I try to do so many things for my team that's unexpected. I don't expect anything in return. I just want to give them everything that I have. And then the third one is Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek. That's a great book about the importance of putting others first and always putting your self-interest on the back burner. So if those were three book recommendations that I could give, it would be Extreme Ownership, The Go-Giver, and Leaders Eat Last.
That's fantastic. Now I'll add a couple in there. The first one is going to be How to Be a Great Boss by Gino Wickman. Have I sent you this yet?
I don't think so, Craig.
All right. Well, make a note to have Linda send you that one. So How to Be a Great Boss by Gino Wickman, who also wrote Traction, and he's the head of the Entrepreneur Operating System, EOS program. That's really fantastic. Another one was The Secrets of the Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harnish. And that one just helped with a lot of the planning for the business. You know, it's one thing to motivate people, but also we need to have really great plans in the business. So that was another good one. And then one book that I think just helps everybody with mental fortitude is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which again, it just shows you that it's more than just about us. And obviously his book is a very powerful story about how he survived the Holocaust by, you know, changing mindset. So that one is very, very important as well. We could go on and on and on and on with business books, but you know, when you have to become a great leader, you have to put this stuff into place. And so Daniel, over the years, you kind of built your five pillars of leadership. And I know we might have kind of touched on them a little bit, but if you could kind of go through and take us through that presentation that you did for us, for my coaching clients and for my mastermind group, it was really, really impactful. We had a Navy SEAL in the room. And I mean, these guys are the upper echelon of leaders in the world. And he was just blown away by it. So walking us through that would be a really, really great way to get into the meat of this right now.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's five important attributes that I think make a great leader. And the first one is communication, or the ability to communicate. You know, it's like, how can you inspire and motivate others without effectively being able to communicate? And the short answer is you can. As a leader, you know, you must be able to share your vision and your mission with others, which we already talked about. And that really just comes down to being able to communicate clearly and concisely. And I like to say that there's three C's with communication. So the first one is confidence. You know, you must be able to communicate with confidence and assurance, or people are not going to buy into what you're saying. And it's also, of course, important to remember that. And in order to have others believe, then you have to believe in yourself and believe in what you're saying. The second C with communication is consistency. And Craig, we already talked about this, but, you know, I talk with far too many business owners or people in some type of leadership role, and they get frustrated that their team is not listening or doing what they say. But, you know, when I ask them, well, how much are you communicating with your team? And it's usually like, well, I sent out an email, or I said at a staff meeting. And like we already talked about, you have to be extremely consistent with your communication and with your message over and over again. And then the third C I feel with communication that's important is clarity. You know, you must be very clear with your communication with your team. If your team is confused or asking a bunch of questions, you clearly did not do a good enough job of explaining everything clear. So, you know, the first one I feel like is communication. The second one is vision, or visionary. As a leader, you must be able to have a clear vision of where you want to go and a roadmap of how you want to get there and where you're going. Now, over time, whether it's over the months or the years, your vision might change. Your roadmap might include detours along the way as well. But without a vision, you'll never be able to inspire others to help you towards your big goal. Because they won't know, you know, how, why, or where they had to get there. The third one is empathy. You know, when I first started out in a leadership position years ago, I only took my feelings and agenda in consideration. And it didn't mean that I was a bad person, but everything revolved around me and what I wanted. But when I understood that a good leader needs to put others first, you know, and try to see everything from their point of view, everything seemed to change for me. And so now when something's not getting done, or there's an issue with a team member, I try to put myself in their shoes, and it's just allowed me to help them even more. Because again, you don't know what your team members are going through. So just having that empathy and trying to put yourself in their shoes can go a long ways. So the fourth one would be a great listener. I definitely feel like this is an overlooked attribute that is so important. In order to lead others, you must know what they need, what they desire, and how you can better serve them. And that's pretty difficult to do, you know, if you're not asking questions, if you're not listening to what they need or what they have to say. You know, it's easy to kind of fall into this trap of always being the one who is talking. But remember that the most important part of communication is, of course, listening. And then I think the fifth important attribute is resilience, or resiliency. As a leader, you must be able to continue to push forward, stay positive, and stay calm during the tough times. You're going to face many, many hardships. I mean, you know, Craig, at one point, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, we were going to shut down one of our locations. Just because we were going through a really tough time. But, you know, we were resilient. We pushed forward. We didn't give up on our vision or mission. And so it's going to be easy to freak out, to hit the panic button, honestly. But as a leader, your team is going to feed off your energy and your emotions. So you must be calm in times of the storm, and your team is going to follow your lead.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And, you know, at the end of the day, the extreme ownership, the personal responsibility, it's so, so key, not just in controlling yourself, but then also in building leaders. And that's something that you've really been able to do very, very well. You've built our team up. You know, you don't have to go to all of our locations all the time. So how do we do it? How do we download leadership to people on our team so that they can do a greater job, I guess, and have more responsibility and make more money and impact more people? Because that's what I want to get into after this, is how we're making an impact on the community through leadership. But how do we do that for our team? How do we make them amazing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, and I know it sounds so simplistic, because sometimes it's the simple answer is the best answer. I think you just have to lead by example, right? Like, how can you And how can you help others become a good leader if you're not a good leader yourself? So are you doing what you're telling your team to do, right? Like, practice what you preach. You know, sometimes in the past, I fell in the habit of I was telling all my team members what I wanted them to do and trying to lead by example. But I was leading by bad example because I wasn't following my own leadership advice. And so I think the first step is just to lead by example. And to make sure that you're doing exactly what you're doing and following the core values of your business that you expect your team members to do. The second thing I think is it's accountability, right? Like, you have to be able to hold your team members accountable. I think too often that we see things slipping as leaders, like we see our team not doing certain things and we don't address it head on. We try to wait and hope that it just goes away, and it's never going to go away. It's only going to get worse. So I think you need to have that specific feedback, that timely feedback, and to hold your team accountable. And that's only going to help them become better leaders for your customers and for your staff. So again, it's a trickle-down effect. In order to have your team become a better leader, you have to make sure that you are following those same guidelines and same core values that you're trying to preach to your team.
Yeah. And then so from there, now that we have leaders in our team, we can now go out and have a bigger impact in the community. And I think everybody listening who becomes a better leader can impact a lot of people. So why don't you talk through like what we're doing with our locations and how so much of that depends on leadership and how we get better and we can really help a lot of people.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm huge on giving back to the community. I would spend about 6 months ago, we started this thing at our boot camps called Check-In for Charity. So kind of the short of it is that each month we pick a local charity. And what we do is every time we have clients come into our facilities and work out, they check into our Facebook group, and they use a specific unique hashtag. And then in the month, we donate 50 cents per check-in throughout the entire month of all our clients. So typically we're writing a check of anywhere from $500 to $600 per month for a local charity. And so what we'll also do is we're bringing awareness to the charity. So it's not like we're just providing, you know, monetary value, which is great, but we're also bringing more awareness to that charity. Typically we will have that charity come into our facility as well one time during that month and do a workout so we can meet some of their team members as well and try to have a greater impact on them. So that's one huge thing that we've been doing that I would say honestly is one of the best things that we've done. Because obviously naturally as a go-giver, you're giving back to the community, but selfishly in return as well, you're only going to help your business grow because the community is going to look at you as an authoritative figure, as a brand that's giving back to the community. Also, we like to host special events outside of our facility, and we will invite them public to it. So we do beach boot camps, or we'll do outdoor boot camps where some typically we'll have 75 to 100 people. They'll come out there. We're able to reach more people. And so it's just a good way to give back to our community as well. And then we just like to go host and volunteer. So a lot of times I'll take my team members. We'll go down to the local soup kitchen on a Saturday or Sunday, and we'll serve food, to the people that are less fortunate here. And again, it's just a good way to obviously make a greater impact in your community, but also it's making an impact on your team and your clients because they see what type of impact you're making. And it's going to trickle down to their personal life, to their kids, to their family. And it's just this snowball effect in your community.
So right now, somebody's watching this and or listening to this, and they're like, yeah, man, I'm so far away from that right now. And they have a bit of broken leadership. What should they do to change things and get back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I think first you need to know what's broken. And that comes down to, again, being self-aware, being able to admit your shortcomings, and learning from other great leaders who are where you want to be. Obviously leadership can't be fixed overnight. In all honesty, it can never fully be fixed. Great leaders are, they're always trying to improve, learning and finding better ways to become a leader. But for me, it's just focusing on one area of leadership at a time and building good habits and values that would help build on each other. So whether you feel like your shortcomings as a leader is communication or delegating or being a better listener or taking extreme ownership, I think my most simplest, recommendation is to work on one area of improvement at a time and then build on those other areas as you go. Because it can be overwhelming when you're like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm a bad leader, I have so many things I can improve upon. It's just like any other area of life. Stay focused on one area at a time, work on that area, build good habits, and then you can move on to the next area and build on top of each habit.
Cool. And just going and getting quick victories is powerful because you get that momentum and motivation. So what are some of the additional conversations that we can have with people that are just going to be like, hey, you know, just by having this one difficult conversation really cleared things up? Have you ever experienced that where it's just simply the, I mean, obviously asking the questions of people was hugely important, but what about when you have, you know, something that's just been festering for a long time and you know you should have that conversation? How does somebody go and get a quick victory with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just having that conversation. So for example, if you're having some type of issue with a team member and you've been putting it off, I think it's just having that conversation.
How do you do it properly? Like, what do you do to get in to have that conversation? How do you start it? How do you make sure that somebody doesn't feel absolutely horrible and make it worse? What's your step-by-step for when you're getting into that situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, first thing goes back to having extreme ownership. And so when you're approaching someone with and you're having an issue, it's like, hey, putting the onus on you. Hey, you know, I know that, hey, there's some things that are going on that, you know, do not align with our core values that I know that we need to improve upon. But I am not putting the blame on you. I'm putting the blame on myself, because as a leader and as someone that is here to lead and serve you, I have not done a good enough job of setting the expectations and holding you accountable. And so by doing that, you're taking kind of the guard up on them, and they're going to hopefully be more open to your criticism and your feedback. And then you can have more of that open conversation and that dialogue on how you guys can work together to improve upon that area.
Cool, cool. And then so walk us through a day in the life of a business where the leadership is going really, really well. And then, you know, as you go along, say like, this is a really high priority, you know, whether it's checking in with people or whether it's just, you know, having that conversation about non-work stuff, just walk us through and then everybody listening can go, wow, I can just improve this, this, and this. It'll be huge. And I can start to see big changes in my life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I think leadership again starts with your personal self first. So, I mean, a few things that I feel like every great leader should do on a daily basis is, and again, a lot of this stuff is Craig that you've taught me over the years is one, first of all, first most important is you wake up the same time every single day and never hit the snooze button. You know, that's something that I've tried to learn from you, Craig, and it's just had a huge impact on my life. And of course, when you have an impact on your personal life, it's going to transfer over to your business. Number two is I think you have to take a few minutes each morning to practice daily gratitude, especially when it comes to daily gratitude as a leader for your team. So whether it's just writing in a gratitude journal, spending a few minutes out on your back patio with your eyes shut, you know, just having gratitude in your mind. But I feel like that's extremely important. Number three, I think, is just having your magic time where you're laser focused. You've got no distractions. You know, you can get more work done in those 1 in 3 hours than you could the rest of the day. And I think, too, it's important, Craig, that a lot of people, when we talk about that magic time, they're still not truly working on their top 5% during that magic time. They're still doing things that is not going to help really, truly move the needle forward. So for me, you know, my top 5% would be whether it's marketing, whether it's working on sales, whether it's communication with my team or team development. Those are the 2 to 3 areas that every single morning from essentially 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., that's my main focus points. And I know that's going to help move the needle forward. And then after that magic time is over, I know the rest of the day I might be putting out fires. There's going to be things coming up, but at least I know I got my most important work done during those 2 to 3 hours when I'm going to be most laser focused, most creative, and have the least distractions in my day.
That's awesome so far. I love it.
Yep. I think the next one is you practice some type of self-development each day as well. So whether that's reading, whether that's meditation, whether that's writing, and that was a big thing for me, Craig, is back in the day, is like my business wasn't growing because I wasn't personally growing. And so I think you have to really work on personal development. And then when you work on that personal development, you can share that with your team, and that's only going to help you become a better leader, and it's going to help you become a better business person as well. I think the next one is you want to empower your team, empower others each day, and focus on how you can serve them. So at the end of my magic time each morning, I will just literally spend 5 minutes, no computer, just with a pen and a pad. And I'll just say, all right, what can I do today to help serve either one of my team members or many of my team members? So whether it's, you know, writing a thank you card, whether it's sending them a text message, just saying, hey, thanks for all your hard work this past few days. Maybe, you know, one of my coaches or one of my managers has done something that really just set them apart and, you know, exceed expectations. So I will always try to think about how I can personally recognize somebody. And so again, it's just empowering others and trying to figure out how you can serve them each and every day. And then I think the other one is just to strive to always exceed expectations with everyone you come in contact with. That's one of our core values, is always exceed expectations. Because most people these days, unfortunately, they just want to meet expectations. But if you can go above and beyond what your team and what your clients and your customers expect from you, you're going to create raving fans and raving customers for the rest of your life. And you're just going to have walking billboards all over your town, your community. And then I think the last one that I would say, Craig, is, you know, you want to exude confidence, but never come across as arrogant or cocky.
Love it. Love it. And then, so Daniel, from there, how does one transition into being a great leader at home? What are the lessons that you've learned in the business that allow you to also be a great leader, you know, for your little girl and for your wife and, you know, for the rest of your extended family?
You know, that's a great point. So I think a couple of things. One is everyone sees what you do. So for example, our daughter now is 15 months old. But you know, I wouldn't say that I had a very foul mouth, but I certainly would say my share of curse words. And I remember this was just actually like 3 months ago. I said a curse word. I think I was talking to Brittany and Belize, our daughter was around in the living room and she didn't say the full word, but you could tell she was trying to repeat that word. And it was just like this aha moment to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, even at this young age, she sees everything I do. And so Craig, and I think, I mean, you've done this a long time ago. I set up a swear jar, right? And every time I would swear, I would put $10 in there. And it took me a good 3 weeks to probably really break that habit. But now, you know, I don't really say any curse words anymore. And so I think that was one big thing. And that just goes back to leadership as well in your business, that your team, your clients, they see what you're doing. Even when you don't think they're seeing or observing, they're seeing what you're doing. So that was extremely important. And then I think it's just having less distractions in the home. You know, it's easy to be on our phones. It's easy to watch TV. It's easy to be distracted. But I've just learned that at this point in my life, you know, my greatest role is a father and a husband and a family man. And so I want to be as present as possible for my family. And so I try to, when I'm home, I try to avoid any type of work. And that is fully focused on my daughter, on my wife, and me just being a good family man and being as present as possible. Because look, it's easy to take life for granted. I just know someone who lost their 2-year-old son in a tragic event. And it's just like, oh my gosh, our time is not guaranteed on this earth. And so I want to make the most out of every single day, every single moment I have with my family.
Wow. That is powerful. And you're right. You know, things can happen very, very quickly in a bad way, but also in a good way when you have the leadership in place. So awesome perspective on bringing leadership home. And doesn't it just come back to the same things, personal responsibility and communications, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
So there, the last thing that I want to ask you, Daniel, is if every day we could wake up as leaders and have you ask one question that's in our head, what would that question be that we should say, oh yeah, Daniel wants me to answer this question every single day to become a better leader?
That is a great, great question. I think the one thing when you wake up that I think that you would want to say in your head or in your mind for a leader is, what am I going to do today to serve others? And I know it's simple, but I think when you can come from that perspective, I think that's going to change everything.
I love it. I love it. So serving others, that servant leadership model, that person underneath supporting instead of top down, that person being the coach and coaching up the players in their business. Because I like to use that analogy, Daniel, and you're down in the football country, is, listen, you know, what was it? Steve Spurrier was the Gamecocks coach for a long time, right?
Yep.
And what's the Clemson guy? He has a funny name. What's his first name?
Yeah, Dabo Swinney. We don't like to say his name around here.
Yeah. What? He's not a good guy in your area?
We don't like to say that name around here.
Right. And so those guys are not scoring touchdowns. They're coaching other people to score the touchdowns. They're not the star of it. They get paid nice, but so do entrepreneurs who have a great team. So you got to be the coach who lifts other people up. And Daniel, you've done such a great job of that. I know we're transitioning into a new era with our business, and you're doing coaching for so many of my gym owners. And we're going to, you know, we've been working together for a long time because I just see the talent in you, and I just love the leadership that you bring, and the sky's the limit for you, I think, for anybody. When you become a great leader, you don't actually have to know the technical stuff. You could become a CEO of almost any company if you're a great leader, because you're just going to go and find great people and support them in what they do. And they know they have the expertise. So I think that's really powerful what you've shared today, Daniel. I'm very, very grateful for you, my man. And make sure you get that book, How to Be a Great Boss, okay? Even though it should be How to Be a Great Leader and not a Great Boss, right?
100%. We can write a new book, Craig.
there you go. How to Be a Great Leader. That's definitely something that Daniel is going to be better at than me. So thanks so much, Daniel. And if people have any questions or want to, you know more about how you run your Fit Body boot camps, or, you know, getting coaching with you. I know you don't use Instagram much, but are you more like a Facebook guy, or what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, send me, I need to follow your lead there, Craig, with Instagram. But yeah, you can send me a private message on Facebook. You can just find me on Facebook, Daniel Woodrum, Woodrum. Or you can always email me at dwood7325@gmail.com.
Awesome, man. So grateful for you. You go and kiss the girls and have a great day, okay?
Thanks, Craig. I appreciate the opportunity.
Fantastic. I mean, I just love talking about that sort of stuff with Daniel. I mean, I love talking about things where a person is an expert and they're passionate. And his question about being a servant leader, that is something to remind ourselves every single day. So let me know what you thought of today's episode. Do you like my solo rants? Do you love these interviews with high performers? Just send me a message on Instagram at Real Craig Ballantyne, or an email at support@earlytorise.com, and head over to iTunes. Give this show a 5-star rating for the 5-star leadership that Daniel downloaded. And let me know how this is going to change your life, both in your business and at home. And when you're ready to rock and roll and ready to go to the next level, and you want coaching, whether for your gym, if you are a gym owner or a coach, if you're a coach, or for any type of business. I work with CEOs of $100 million companies all the way down to real estate agents and individual solo entrepreneurs, people with no teams, and people with big teams. So send me a message on Instagram at Real Craig Ballantyne. Looking forward to working with you and changing your life and helping you get rich, get healthy, and build better relationships. We'll talk to you soon, and can't wait to hear about your growth as a leader.